You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, you know it. We're back. NCAA Tournament edition of BetQLU. Of course, the opening round edition of BetQLU. We're here with you every single week talking college basketball, college football. And this is our time to shine, RJ Choppy. This is it. We've finally reached it. I'm John Martin, as always, joined every week by the great RJ Choppy. And the games are underway. We have several double-digit seeds advancing, including 14-seeded Oakland. And we'll talk about Saturday's games and preview some of those. But before we do that, it is the upset of the tournament, RJ, no question about it. Kentucky goes down once again. So two out of the last 3 years suffer a humiliating loss in the first round of the NCAA tournament. A couple years ago with St. Peter's, now it's Oakland. And Cal says, I'm adjusting everything. But is it too late for that? Should it be too late for Cal to have a chance to adjust, given the fact that they haven't been to a Final Four since 2015, RJ?
It's a long time, man. It's a long time for him not to go to a Final Four. Not even for him, more for the school. It's a long time for Kentucky not to go to the Final Four. Here's the thought, though. This is the final year, right, of the COVID years. So I wonder how much of Cal's style and philosophy of just getting blue blood kids at 18 years old, planning for 1 year, letting them go to the NBA, is, you know, he runs into a couple of teams that are got, you know, 24, 25-year-olds. Dude, Jack Gaulke, he looks like he's 30. He looks like he's got a day job. He has a day job working as a, you know, as a he's a manager. He's a manager somewhere, middle management, and that's a great widow's peak. I mean, I'm actually kind of jealous of that widow's peak. I mean, that is, we are on the Herman Munster level of widow's peak on the Gaulke. But you know, you run your 18-year-old kids, you're running to 25-year-olds. That ain't gonna work. That's not going to work. I mean, they come up and get you. And the tournament's a crapshoot anyway. So I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, should we, like, look at the last 3, 4, 5 years? They've all been COVID years for the most part. And kind of like, all right, just think of it as a reprieve and, like, just give him a do-over on that. Or is this something part of something bigger? Because he's never been a great X's and O's coach. Never.
Right.
Not at Memphis, not at UMass, not at not with the Nets, and not at Kentucky. He's not an X's and O's guy. He's a recruiter, and he's always going to get you great players. If the great players don't play, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's unfathomable for me and to me to think that with the start he had, which was at 1.4 out of 5 Final Fours, in a stretch, right? He had made 4 out of 5 Final Fours. He had won a national championship. The idea that we would be looking up from the span of 2016 to 2024 and there would be no Final Four appearances for Kentucky and very few real second weekend type of runs. I think it's been since 2019 since they made a second weekend. I would have said, you know, no chance, no way. Clearly, the formula for what is successful in college basketball has changed on a dime. And look, I mean, Cal has always been a master of getting the talented one and done. That doesn't just have to mean a freshman. It can mean Dalton Connect, right? Dalton Connect's a one and done. Why can't Cal get guys like him? You know, he's been great with the aspiring NBA guards, but it feels like he just hasn't done a good enough job with the college transfer. I mean, he's had a couple. I mean, Reeves is probably his best success story. You know, Trey Mitchell been hurt all season, you know, has not really made the impact that I think most people hoped. So I think that's the thing is, like, can Cal be successful with that? And I think he's topped out. I think whatever Kentucky was going to be under John Calipari, he's already done it, and it's not getting back. The only problem is they don't – it's hard to pay a buyout of $33 million when the successor isn't obvious. And, RJ, I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
When Memphis fired Tubby Smith after two seasons, and I'm just using this as an example because I was in the middle of it, they knew exactly who they were going to hire. They knew. They knew that they were hiring Penny Hardaway in their backyard. So they were happy to pay the $12 million buyout because they knew what they were going to do. But it's hard to come up with that money and then do a real search because you what am I paying $33 million to wind up with? You know, that's the question. That's probably why Cal will keep a job.
See, yeah, and I agree with that. But, you know, this is Kentucky. Like, you don't say no to Kentucky. The only people who say no to Kentucky are coaching at Duke, Kansas, North Carolina, UConn, and that's it.
Well, so who's that leave? Yes, right? So who's that leave, though? You know what I mean? Like, who does that leave in terms of people you would fire Cal to hire? You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, and that's you. To me, I would have to get Dan Hurley. I would have to convince him to leave UConn. I do think Kentucky, I mean, you know, UConn has joined the Blue Bloods, but it's not Kentucky. At the end of the day, it's still a Johnny come lately. Like, Kentucky is on the level of, it's on the Mount Rushmore of Blue Bloods.
For sure.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know who it leaves. Does it leave Brad Underwood at Illinois, who I think is a really good coach? Yep. You know, who is the guy?
That's a tough sell. I mean, Brad Underwood, you know, stylistically, he's not bringing that charisma. He's not bringing but maybe it's, you know, for me, and I don't know if he probably would not do it. I think there's probably way more reasons not to do it than to do it. But Kelvin Sampson would be probably first on my list. But he probably is not leaving Houston at this point. You know, he can just stay in the Big 12, win the Big 12, and then hand the job off to his son when he's ready to retire.
Right. No, for sure. Or you know. No, they don't want a successor. They're not naming a successor right now. I don't know that. Yeah, I don't think they're going to make a move. It's such a good job. And he does a good job too. You know, because you lose in a one and done. And this is why, like, I don't advocate for coaching changes in the NFL very often or college hoops. I mean, a one and done, like, anything can happen. And football is a little bit different, right? You know, you get the better quarterback or you get some turnovers and all of a sudden the game gets out of hand. You know, listen, was it Coach Cal's fault that Reed Shepard looked like the moment was too big for him?
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is that Cal's fault?
Well,
like, Reed, you saw when he made his first basket in the second half, and you saw the sigh. I mean, he exhaled. That ain't on the coach, man. That, to me, that's not on the coach. That's on the player.
Right.
I can't get mad at Cal for that.
No, I just think it's, you know, in a vacuum, one play, one game specifically, no. But it's just the just the entire body of work, right? It's the entire body of work over the last 8 years that goes back to Cal, you know, because ultimately you pick the players. You know, you're responsible for putting them in positions to succeed as the head coach. And if you don't like the formula, this or that doesn't, you pick. You are still, the buck stops with you right. as the head coach. And that's, you know, it's not like an NBA head coach where a general manager and a team president is building his roster for the most part. There are exceptions, but, you know, in college, you're in charge of everything top to bottom, who your assistants are, who your players are, when you practice, how you practice, everything. It's your universe. So you have to take the fall. And the other side of it is when it goes well, as you know, RJ, you get all the love. I mean, that's the way it works in college. It's kind of thankless to be a player in college basketball, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Because, I mean, if I was Cal, like my defense for – if I was Coach Cal right now and the AD's talking to me, and he's like, you picked the players. And I'm like, yeah, man, I picked probably two top five draft picks. The NBA thinks these guys are really good. They just had a bad day. They had a bad, or one of them had a bad day. Like, you know, that's what I would say if I was Coach Cal. You know, because he did really, like, that's a good team. It's a really good team. Yeah. And he assembled a good team. He assembled a young team. And, I mean, when your three best players are all freshmen, this can happen. You can run into a team of 25-year-olds, and there is, make no mistake about it, whether people want to admit it or not, there is a massive difference between an 18-year-old man and a 25-year-old man. Like, there is, I mean, they might not even, they might as well not even be the same species. That's how different they are.
Agreed. All right, a couple of games looking ahead to Saturday. We'll do this throughout the show here. Let's start with 7-seeded Dayton, which was, I mean, dead to rights against Nevada. They were down 19 with 7 minutes left. They end the game on a 24-4 run, and they get their first tournament win since 2015. That in a nutshell was March and the insanity of March. But they are taking on number 2-seeded Arizona, which depending on which number you had, they either covered or did not. So, you know, it depends on the number, but you're either super happy with Arizona or super angry. Either way, Dayton is a 9.5-point underdog. Can they keep the party going, RJ, and keep this close against an Arizona team that has some very random, dumb losses, or do you think Arizona squashes here?
I think that's the key there. Random, they've got some really random, dumb losses, and that's scary. That should scare any Arizona fan. There's a few teams that should be scared of their team's performances and their through the regular season, and I think Arizona's one of them. You know, what Caleb are you getting? Are you getting good Caleb, or are you getting Caleb that may turn the ball over? And that's a big problem. That's a big question to ask. I don't think – I wouldn't touch the spread. This is too much. 9.5 is a lot. I know Arizona looked really good on Thursday, but I don't know that I could touch the spread here. That's a lot. It's a full 10-point spread almost, 9.5. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. I mean, more apt to take the under. That's a big number.
Yeah.
172 is a big number.
Zach points out, starting so early, 10:45 their time out there in Salt Lake. I mean, that's – that doesn't feel like a recipe that's conducive to a bunch of sport. I have no idea. I don't know.
Did you notice, like, the Charlotte bracket's got, like, a 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock Eastern time game, and this game's starting at 10:45 in the morning. Why don't you flip them? Exactly. Let the Charlotte team play at 1 o'clock.
I have no earthly idea. I have no earthly idea. But, you know, they don't ever think about this kind of stuff. And as Zach points out, they want Gonzaga and Kansas in a standalone window, so that makes sense. Speaking of which, go right to Gonzaga taking on Kansas. Gonzaga, the 5-seed, not often you're going to see this, favored by 4.5 over the 4-seeded Kansas Jayhawks. Kansas gets a huge break over Stanford with a very clean block that was called a foul, changed the entire game. Gonzaga rolled everybody's darling in McNeese State. And now they're going to get a very undermanned Kansas team with no Kevin McCullough. With that being said, is 4.5 too many against Bill Self?
You mean Mr. February? You know, if Bill Self, he gets all the love, man. Everybody loves Bill Self. I mean, he had one run. I don't even count the Memphis game. That was a travesty to basketball. that they were allowed to foul. They did the old hack a shack for the last 10 minutes of that game. So he's had one good run. I mean, he's a choking coach. He's Rick Barnes with a title. That's what he is. Rick Barnes, the championship or two. I can't answer this question because I had both teams losing in the first round. I had McNeese and Samford. So I am the wrong person to ask about this game. But if you had to give me one, I would take Gonzaga. It's hard when you lose your best player. It just is. When you eventually run into a team that's got full strength, it's hard when you lose your best player.
Yeah. No, it is, and I agree. I mean, it's a little higher than I wanted to pay. I was hoping to get closer to two, but they know what's up. They know what's up here. Mm-hmm. It's too thin for Kansas. I have them going out here. I'll see where the number goes. If it gets to five or six with DeJuan Harris and Hunter Dickinson, I think there might be a chance I could come in at Kansas, but the only way I could look right now is Gonzaga at this number, and they're playing really, really good basketball, and they're healthier, and that's a big thing when you get to, you know, months like this. So yeah, I think that's the way I would have to look right now. All right, hey, lots more games to get to. Michigan State, North Carolina, Washington State, Iowa State, Oakland, NC State, Texas, Tennessee. We're going to get your thoughts on your Vols. Duquesne, Illinois, Oregon, Creighton. Lots more to come here on BetQLU. Finally, we have made it. We have made it to the first weekend of the NCAA tournament after everything. And it is delivering, as it always does. Nothing but chaos. I'm John Martin. He's RJ Choppy. We'll be back right here on BetQLU after this.